not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our invitation to confession.
The first lesson tonight is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, starting with verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchposts and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 62. We'll read it responsively on the insert. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation.
He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence?
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position.
They take pleasure in falsehood.
They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion.
In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery.
If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man according to his work.
The second lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this season, I remind you to fan the flame into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise as you are able for the hearing of our Lord's gospel. Tonight's gospel is recorded in St. Luke, the 17th chapter. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, and if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty.'" This is our gospel reading for tonight. You may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. All right, good to see you. And you got some of your friends here tonight too, that's good. In fact, you know we're celebrating friendship tonight, right? So you can probably guess what the children's message is going to be about, right? About friends or about friendship. So raise your hand if you have a friend. Do most of you have a friend? Do you have more than one friend? You have no friends? Yeah, I don't believe that. Yeah? You're one of his friends, right? Yeah, sometimes we feel like we haven't got a friend in the world. But what a friend we have in Jesus. That's what we're celebrating tonight. Because, Rowan, if your friend is Jesus and my friend is Jesus, guess what that makes us? Friends, right? We got the same friend. That makes us friends too. So you can never be without a friend when you've got Jesus, right? You've got Jesus as your, do you know what those letters are? BFF? Have you ever heard of BFF? Somebody out there, one of our big kids, they said, "What does those letters stand for?" I said, "You're going to have to watch the children's sermon." What does it stand for?
Best friend forever.
Best friend forever. Do you have best friends? Do you have good friends or bad friends? I want you to think about that tonight. In my sermon, we're going to be speaking about what it means to have a friend like Jesus, and what about our other friendships we have, right? Yeah, BFF, best friend forever. Jesus says the best friend is willing to die for you. Now, let me ask you a question. If you have a friend, would they lie to you? If you have a friend, would they lie for you? If you did something wrong, what would your friend want to do? They probably would come and say, "You can't do that. That's not good. Come on, you come with me. You're going to go tell your mom and dad, but I'll go with you." "Yeah, but I'll get in trouble." "Doesn't matter. I'll be right there with you. I'm not going to stop being your friend. But we need to go tell your mom and dad," right? You see what I'm getting at? That's what a best friend forever does. They don't help you cheat on a test. They don't help you steal something, do they?
No.
If they did that, would they be your best friend?
No.
No, Jesus says the best friend is somebody who's faithful, who's loyal, who's got your back, who loves you, who forgives you, who protects you, who keeps you safe. You know, I think you know. You know what a friend is, right? That's why we sang that song tonight, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Because the world, I don't think the world always knows what it means to have a really good friend. A BFF. You see what I'm wearing tonight? Anybody see this? Nobody saw this? Nobody knows what this is? It's a what? It's a friendship bracelet. I was going to make each one of you one, and I started last night, and it took me 3 hours to do this. I thought, I don't have enough time to make you all a friendship bracelet. But I put this on. It's the colors of Emmanuel, you know, of the flame, of the Holy Spirit, of the fire, right? Okay. But whenever I see this bracelet on my wrist, I'm thinking about my BFF. I'm thinking about Jesus and how he made me his best friend, and he died on the cross for my sins. And I'm thinking, what does he want me to do with this friendship? Does he want me to just keep this friendship all to myself? Or does he want me to be a good friend to other people? Yeah, you know, right, Gavin?
Yeah.
You know that. That's what it means to have Jesus as our best friend. We can't just keep it to ourselves, but if we understand friendship, we keep our eyes on Jesus, and we go out and we live like Jesus and love like Jesus. One last question. Raise your hand if you've ever read the book or seen the movie Charlotte's Web. How many of you, right? How many of the big kids? Charlotte's Web? It's a great story, isn't it? The little girl Fern, she doesn't want to see her little cute pig Wilbur get butchered, right, and end up on the table. So who's the hero in that story? Who is Wilbur the pig, the best friend?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Is Charlotte a pig?
No.
Is Charlotte that rat?
No.
What's the rat's name? You remember that rat in the story?
What does it start with?
He's kind of sneaky, isn't he? He'll do things, but only if he's getting something, huh? But Charlotte, all the way up to the very end, she puts words as she weaves her webs, and it saves the life of that pig. Well, what do you think Jesus did for you? He didn't just weave a web. He didn't just save you here, did he? No, he went to the cross and he rose on Easter so that you could be his BFF for how long?
Forever.
Forever. Yeah, if we want forever, then we need Jesus, right? And that's the kind of friendship he gives us and the kind of friendship that he wants us to share. Pray with me, okay? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thanks for making me your friend. Help me share your friendship with other people too. Amen. Thanks for coming up. As you go back, we're going to get ready. We're going to sing together, "Jesus Loves Me." You know that song, right? "Jesus Loves Me."
Now, let's see if we can, which one of the kids can sing the loudest.
There you go. Jesus loves me. We've got two verses on your song sheet, okay? You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. You've got a friend. That song, properly understood, is a love song from Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what season it is, Jesus Christ has a love for you that goes to the cross for you. And he chooses you to be his best friend. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus says, that a person lay down their life for a friend. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that abides and stays and remains. Dear friends in Christ. Dear, beloved, precious, valuable, treasured friends in Christ. Do we hear the depth of that kind of a greeting? It's a good way to begin. Every day, every sermon, every community worship service, dear friends in Christ. You know, I've been wrestling a lot for the last 2-3 weeks with this whole concept of friend and friendship. I don't know about you, but we kind of throw the word friend around rather loosely. Seriously. You heard with the kids when I said, do you have good friends? Do you have bad friends? Guess what? That's an oxymoron. That's a contradiction of terms. You either have a friend or you don't have a friend. It's not appropriate for us to say, well, they're a fake friend, or they're a fair-weather friend, or they're a fickle friend. They're either a friend or they're not a friend. But I notice how loosey-goosey we are in our culture. I mean, we've got that popular show that used to be on TV called Friends, or you've got Friends with Benefits, as though somehow sexuality were just, you know, trick-or-treats at Halloween time. We use friends in a lot of different ways. I was over at a house yesterday, and the mother said to her daughter, why don't you introduce your friend to Pastor Dave? And then she says, well, this is my best friend. Really? Can you have more than one best friend? Huh? Jesus does. He's got a whole world of best friends that he's willing to go to the cross for. But we talk about boyfriends and girlfriends, and they were talking about that yesterday too. And I said, so is this a boy who happens to be a friend? Or are we talking about something kind of serious here? Boyfriend, girlfriend, guy friend, gal friend? I don't know. I mean, we just throw this stuff around all the time. And that's one of the reasons why we're here tonight, is to celebrate real friend, real friendship, the way the Bible describes and defines it. And I would maintain that if you took any of our readings for tonight and you read it through the lens of what a friend we have in Jesus, and you were to compare the friendship that Jesus Christ gives us to the fickle kind of things that masquerade as friends or friendship in our world, someone is not my friend if they don't speak the truth to me in love. Someone is not my friend if they turn a blind eye and watch me go down the path of corruption. You know what a real friend is, a dear friend, a treasured friend, dear friends in Christ. You just call it my name. And you know that wherever I am, I'll drop everything. Why? Because that's what friends do. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't say, well, you know, it's not a real good time. Or, you know, the Twins are playing tonight. Some of you probably knew that, right? They're probably playing right now against the Yankees, right? You know, there's a whole bunch of things that can get in our way. If you were to call somebody, send them text, etc., they don't respond to you, and they say, oh, sorry about that. Or you say, want to come over? Want to do something together? Want to hang out? And they would always say, I'm kind of busy. Not a good time. Not today. After a while, what would you say? Is this really a friend? I'm going to wear this friendship bracelet because what I'm being convicted of as I look at the scriptures is that I need to be a better friend like Jesus. Jesus gives me his friendship for a reason, so that I can go to the cross for God's world too, so that I can make the necessary sacrifices for people that need sacrifices, that need a real friend, and not somebody who's just fickle or fair weather. The world is hungry for friend, and not just a television show. When I was in Little Falls, Minnesota as a pastor, one of my two daughters, when they were a teenager, they came up to me one day and they said, Dad, you know everybody. Well, Morrison County, not that big. I was in Little Falls for 17 years. You get to know people. Dad, you know everybody. And you know what my response was to my teenage daughter? I said, I have a lot of acquaintances, but I don't have a lot of friends. Truth be told, we have to be careful about having too many friends. Because you know what friends are? They are an inconvenience. Seriously. They might call you, they might need something, and what in the world are you going to do? Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. I'm sorry, but that's not the kind of friendship I had in mind. Do you see what happens and how it plays out in our gospel for tonight? At the end of the day, the slave of the master, Jesus, we say we're unworthy servants. We've just done our duty. The friendship of Jesus and the sharing of this friendship is the grace of God in our lives. It's our duty and our delight to share it with others. And is that going to be, well, with cost? Is that going to be with some inconvenience? I don't want to burst your bubble, but it will. When we read the scriptures and we hear what Jesus has to say about being a friend. Some of you know that a dear friend that the Lord brought into my life, James Pudio, was over in Gambela, Ethiopia, as a missionary pastor with his wife, Nandi, and he came back. He'd lost about 100 pounds. Amyloidosis is the big medical word. TB, hepatitis B. I mean, I'll be honest, since August 14th, I praise God every day that God has been healing this man, because there's several times he could have been gone. And you know what his wife, Nandi, says all the time? Oh, Pastor David. Oh, Pastor. God is good. They don't have a car. They don't have a house. She was on the verge of losing her job down there in Des Moines, Iowa. They call and say, you need to come to work. She said, if I don't come to work, then we're going to fire you. She said, okay, you fire me. I get another job, but I don't get another husband. Now, it's been about 3-4 weeks that she's been in her husband's hospital room, staying there like on a cot and stuff, right? And so she called her supervisor down there, and he said, if you don't come back on Tuesday, then we will terminate you. Well, James is doing a little better. So they sent me a text. They said, Pastor David, can you drive Nandi down to Des Moines? Now, I know that I could have called any of you who are my friends. I could have called any of you who are my friends. And you would have dropped everything, and you would have taken her down there. I know you would have. But I didn't have enough time to do that. I didn't make the time to do that. That's my confession, right? I'm not always the best friend. And my wife said, well, what about a bus? So what we found out is I could take care of my commitments here in Rochester. I could go up to the hospital and pick Nandy up. I could drive her to Owatonna, and then she wouldn't have to worry about a transfer, and she could go directly down to Des Moines, get there at 6 o'clock, and work at 11. I could do that. I really could. And I wasn't even wearing my friendship bracelet. And you know what Nandy said to me? Pastor David, you are so good to Jimmy and me. No, I'm not. I'm an unworthy servant. It's only God's grace. I looked at Nandy and I said, Nandy, this is about the friendship of Jesus. We're either a friend of Jesus or we're not. And when you're a friend of Jesus, it's a package deal, my friends. Dear friends in Christ. Right? It is. That's just what it is. And I said to her, I said, Nandy, if I needed help and you and James were able to help me, wouldn't you do the same? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Well, a friend's a friend forever when the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, and the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. You see, if the Lord is the Lord of them, then you're talking about eternal friendship. When I go and see some people that come from Arkansas and other places in the hospital, and I take them communion, or I visit and I pray with them, they say, why are you doing this? I said, well, because I've got a small congregation, I got too much time on my hands. No, I don't say that. I say to them, I say, well, here's the deal. The Lord is helping me to see that you and I are strangers, but we're going to spend eternity together. So I figure I should probably start getting to know you here and now. Right? I mean, I say that seriously. It's all about friendship. Now, here's what I want you to take away tonight. I want you to remember what the scriptures say and what Jesus says about friendship. St. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he uses big words like estrangement and reconciliation. But years ago, we gave a Bible called the Good Shepherd Bible. We gave it to little kids, third graders. And 2 Corinthians 5 does not use big words like ministry of reconciliation and estrangement, and right? You know what it says? We're enemies with God. And God transfers us from enemy to friend. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you and I might become the righteousness of God. Talk about a friend. Talk about deep-seated friendship that goes to the grave and the empty tomb, that goes into eternity for us. And then, when Jesus was saying farewell to his disciples, John 13 through 17, you remember what he does? He takes his robe off, he grabs a towel, he washes their dirty, stinky, smelly feet. And Peter says, not going to happen. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no share in me. This is all or nothing, buddy. Do you remember who was sitting at that Last Supper? Satan had put it into the heart of Judas to betray his Lord. Right there at the table, an enemy that was going to put Jesus on the cross. Jesus washes the feet and he says, you know what I've done, right? You understand this? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, you call me master, you got it. If I, your Lord, your teacher, and your master, have washed your feet, then I've given you an example that you should do the same for others. By this the world you will know that you are truly my disciples. When you do this, when you put my friendship into practice. And so it's in John chapter 15, where Jesus is talking about staying and abiding, about the fruit and the vine, you know, and the branches. And he says, Greater love has no one than this. And he doesn't just say the words, he proves the words. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down their life for a friend. And you are my friends. Did you catch that? He's the master, they're the slaves, they're the servants. And he says, you know your children, right? Beloved by my Father. You see, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I don't call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends because everything the Father showed me, I'm showing to you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Not just some, not just most, 99.5%. No, all of our sins and all of our griefs, he takes them all. What a friend we have in Jesus. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In our gospel for tonight, Jesus shows us, reveals to us some beautiful characteristics of friendship. And this is what he says. He says, a friend will not tempt another person to do what is wrong. If you have someone in your life that is tempting you to do something contrary to the will of God, they are not your friend. Give me a call instead. You will know if somebody's your friend by, are they going to protect you from temptation? Jesus even says that when that time comes, they're going to rebuke you. They're going to come and they're going to say, that is not going to happen. You understand that? I mean, they can walk away, that's true. But a friend is somebody who will tell somebody the truth even when they don't want to hear it. And Jesus says a friend will not lead you into temptation. A friend is going to rebuke you when you're doing something that is breaking the heart of your Heavenly Father. And then he talks about forgiveness. And Peter probably heard this because later on he'll say, well, how about we forgive 7 times? And Jesus says, if your brother or sister, you see what a friend we have in Jesus, right? Dear friends in Christ. If your brother or sister sins against you, and they come and say, I'm sorry, I repent. It is your duty to what? Forgive them. Jesus says, even if it happens, the same person, 7 times, the same day. It's your duty. And the disciples go kind of like crazy, and they say, increase our faith. I can't do it. Right? And did you see what Jesus did? I can see him. I bet you can too. Jesus says, oh my goodness. Ah, little mustard seed. Huh. Cute little thing, huh? You know, that's going to become a big bush that the birds are going to nest and find protection in. You know that. By the way, because faith is a gift of God for you that accompanies God's friendship for you, you only need a little mustard seed faith. That's it. And then Jesus closes with that story about a master and a slave, and I hope you caught it. He says, so what do you think? If you were the master, and you've got a slave out there that's been working 12 hours in the hot sun, taking care of the sheep, plowing the fields, and the slave comes in, and your stomach is growling, because you've been kind of sitting around all day, you're the master. What are you going to say to your slave? Are you going to say, you know, take a load off your feet. Here, what can I fix you for supper? Of course not. We know how it works in the world. You're going to say to that tired, worn out, dirty, filthy slave, you're going to say, get in there, wash up quick, fast, right now. Get an apron on, get out here because I'm hungry and I want to eat now. And when you've done that, does the slave expect a thank you or a tip? Really? No. So also, when you've done everything that God created you to do, you say, I say, we say, We are unworthy servants. We've just done our duty. But do you see the difference? Jesus is a different master. He's a master who's right out there rolling his sleeves up and getting dirty in the field and taking care of the sheep. And he comes in and he says, you know what, we've been working pretty hard out there, haven't we? Why don't you sit down and rest a little bit? I'm going to clean up and then I'm going to fix us some food here. Because Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the sacrament. He gives us his body and blood. He feeds us. He calls you and me friends. Not slaves, but sons and daughters, children of the same Heavenly Father. Unworthy, yes. Apart from the grace of God, unworthy. But by the grace of God, you and me, beloved friends. Mildred Shelley had Alzheimer's. She was in the nursing home called the Lutheran Home in Little Falls, Minnesota. Twice a month we'd go there for services, and we'd have communion and do some singing. And I noticed Mildred's not here. And Jean Peterson said, oh, she said she couldn't come today. I said, really? I knew about the Alzheimer's, so I went down to Mildred's room. There she was, sitting in her room in her wheelchair. And I said, Mildred, it's me, Pastor Dave. You know, like your son's name, David. I said that all the time to Mildred. And I came over by her, and I said, Mildred, we got Jesus' Supper today. We got the forgiveness of sins. You coming, right? She looks at me dead serious, and she says, no. No, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? She said, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. And I got down on my knees beside her wheelchair, and I took her beautiful little hands. And I said, Mildred, I'm not worthy either. I said, none of us is worthy. But do you know what the good news is, Mildred? Jesus. He makes us worthy. He gives us his forgiveness. He gives us his friendship. He dies on the cross for us, Mildred. He makes us worthy. So I can come? I said, oh, yes. Your best friend forever, Jesus. He's waiting for you. Let's go. So I end how I began. Dear friends in Christ, your friendship is what I treasure. And we are united as brothers and sisters only because of the friendship of Jesus. That's what means that a friend is a friend forever. Because the Lord is the Lord of them. Our Master, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.